Good morning, church. God is good. And all the time. Well, I have the privilege this morning to introducing our guest speaker. Today we have Sean Stewart. He is the founder and director of Organized Chaos. It is an organization that actually I'm going to let Sean talk a little bit more about. But Sean, he's married. He's the husband of, one wife. There you go. All right. Her name is Melissa Stewart. They've been married for almost 5 years now. They both attend Sojourn. Did I get it right? Sojourn. There you go. The name of your church? Sojourn Church. I just found out also that his wife is in the children's ministry. And she's on duty today. That's why she's not next to him this morning. You know, Sean, we've had a lot of conversations with Sean in the office, Pastor Ralph and myself. And one of the things that I can say about Sean is that this is a young man who encountered God. And when he had an encounter with God, he says, you know what? What do I have? What can I do with my life to impact the kingdom of God? And he took what he had, and Organized Chaos was born. So I'm just going to let you, Sean, just welcome. Just put your hands together and welcome him.
Thank you. That's right. So growing up, my dad and I always built and fixed things together. The very first thing I remember building with my dad was this toolbox. As we built things together, he could teach me life skills, relational skills. He could also share the gospel with me. As I grew, so did the projects, as my parents built new homes. And so the scale got quite large, but the concept stayed the same, of him being able to work alongside me, teaching me how to build, teaching me life skills, the relational skills, at the same time as sharing the gospel with me. Coming out of high school, I had the plan to be a millionaire by the time I was 25. And so this was a pretty audacious goal, but I was working well towards my goal. At 18, I bought a house and was renting it out to other students. I was going to Conestoga for architecture, not because I wanted the education, but because I didn't want to work full-time yet. I started buying equipment to run the family farm. At the same time, I was working construction through this. And so I was working very well towards my goal. And that's when a man that was like a second father to me passed away in a car accident with a drunk driver. And this turned my life upside down, and I started questioning my purpose in life. I started asking my friends questions like, top places they wanted to go and top things they wanted to do. And I got answers like, see the Great Wall of China and go skydiving. These answers didn't seem to help me find purpose. And that was because I was asking the wrong questions. On top of that, I was doing a Bible study at Conestoga, and it was going through Ecclesiastes. And we know how that starts off with meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. And it just seems to highlight what was going on in my life at that time and questioning what I was doing. I began Googling Bible colleges. I sent out a bunch of emails, and I signed up for the first one that emailed me back. And I was in no way committing to this Bible college idea yet, and I didn't know where my life was going. I signed up for a one-year course with admissions trip to Columbia at the end of it. Today I want to look at my favorite passage, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And so I'll read that for you, and I'll tell you later why it's my favorite passage. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I realized through my first year at Bible college that I had been serving money. The problem wasn't that I was wanting to make money. The problem was that I was putting it above God, and the money was for me and for me alone. It wasn't going towards any other thing besides myself. This first part of the passage, verse 10, says, "Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." This tells me three things. One, that Christians, we have received gifts. Two, that they're different gifts. And three, we are to use them as faithful stewards. Faithful stewards is often a term in reference to money, but it can mean it is in many things. It refers to using them well, using them appropriately. And I'm going to jump to the passage of Matthew 25, 14 to 30 at this point, which Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. We're going to look at the parable of the talent. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants to and entrusted his property to them. One he gave 5 talents of money, the other 2 talents, and the other 1 talent, according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, and again 5 more talents. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. This is a parable, and therefore very symbolic. The master in this case was Jesus. And the master went away and came back, and that is Jesus going to heaven and returning, i.e. the long journey. And that would make us Christians the servants who have been bought by his blood, employed to do his will and give him glory. And he gave us something. He gave us something. He gave these servants, he gave them talents, bags of money. To us, he gave us the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went away, he gave us the Holy Spirit. A talent is often referred to by scholars as 20 years' wages. So the minimum was 20 years' wages, and then it was 40 years and 100 years' wages. He left his servants with a whole lot. It wasn't just a little bit. He left us with great things. The spiritual gifts that we've received from God when he left are significant. And I'm going to keep going in this passage. I'm at 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, "You entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." The master replied, "Well, Not well done. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I had harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. So, like I said before, we've been given talents, or we've been given gifts in various forms. I often lump our talents in with that. Spiritual gifts in the Bible, some of them referred to as mercy, as leadership, as giving, as teaching. These are all different gifts of the Spirit. We are also being given talents. And we see an example of this in Exodus when they were building the tabernacle, that God entrusted people in building talents, building gifts. And so I often lump these two together. When I was on that missions trip in Colombia at the end of the one-year program at Bible College, I was sitting in a mall writing in my journal, writing down the gifts that God had given me and trying to figure out what God wanted me to do with my life. I looked at my gifts, and I had a gift of entrepreneurship, of working with my hands and working with youth. And so I wrote down some ideas, a youth pastor I wrote down. I wrote down make money, but this time use it wisely. I wrote down architecture, because that's what I had been in school for. But I also wrote down trades-based drop-in center. Beside that, I wrote not feasible, leading me to my second point. Back in 1 Peter 4 again, and verse 11, serving with God's strength. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Oh, I ran too far there. Serve with God's strength. Speak with God's words. We have no greater potential than when we look to God for strength. I wrote not feasible because I was looking to my own strength, and it was not feasible on my own. And so when we look to God, we reach our full potential. And serving with God's strength, speaking God's word, this is God that created the universe, God that parted the sea, God that sacrificed and died for us. There is a great amount of potential there. And we have that because the Holy Spirit is within us. And he has given us these gifts to serve others around us and to serve him. There's a story of a boy and a rock. A boy was digging in his garden. He didn't have a garden. A sandbox. Digging in a sandbox, just like I would do. Sometimes I use bigger toys now. But digging in a sandbox. And he came across a rock, and he was burying the rock, unburying the rock, and he's trying to get it out of his sandbox. And he goes to lift it shifts and pinches his hand. The father came out and asked the boy why he didn't use all his strength. And the boy said, "I did." And the father said, "No, you didn't. You didn't ask me." And so our strength comes from our father. And I wrote not feasible because I wasn't looking to God. And so I want to move to the last point of giving God the glory. Again in 1 Peter 4, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The millionaire problem was because I was serving myself. It was because I was wanting glory for myself. Not because I was not giving glory to God. And tradespeople know, I talked about my toolbox at the beginning, and tradespeople know that the best conversations, some of the best conversations can be had while swinging a hammer or turning a wrench. It's those side-by-side conversations that you can have about God, about life. And OK exists to apprentice young people in life and trade, inspiring hope and purpose, creating a safe environment for young people to work and learn alongside tradespeople from local churches. Organized chaos exists to bring God glory. Can you show the video? Many students have parental figures that are distant, absent, or uninterested. Many lack the time, the resources, or the space to teach the trades. And many others are just looking for somebody to partner alongside them. Many students get caught in a cycle where they cannot get ahead. They don't fit well in a school system, and due to lack of education or training, they surrender to the pressures around them. But an even more pressing problem than that, many young people are spiritually lost. And often the doors of a church are difficult doors to pass. And that those set of doors are made much easier when walking through them with somebody. Somebody that they already know, somebody that they already trust. Trades become a medium for discipleship. We work in low ratio of one tradesperson working with two students at a time. Each of these tradespeople coming from local churches. When a student has a sense of belonging and a sense of respect for themselves, when they're told, well done, something that many young people haven't heard before, as they're working alongside each other on a project, that project breaks down the barriers to start having real conversations, like building a toolbox. And we have a few different types of programs. So you saw a little bit of clips. That's actually getting old now, that video. But you saw a bit of some clips of aluminum siding, framing, plumbing. We have wood turning. We have bricklaying. And each of those still work in those low ratios. We also have open shop, which one tradesperson works with two students at a time. But the students get to pick the project. They get to come in, decide what they want to build, whether it be a silly little sword or a shed they want to build. We build that alongside them, keeping that same low ratio. And our programs fill up very quickly. Since our first summer, we haven't gone with a program unfilled, and often filling up with under 10 minutes. The students are looking to be mentored, and our biggest limiting factor is our number of mentors. And that's why recently we moved into our biggest expansion yet, a second industry with a second shop with the same mission. We're opening an auto shop starting July. And so we've brought in a whole nother team of mentors, auto mechanics, to work alongside students, this time ripping tires off cars instead of building sheds. And still using that same aspect to work alongside them. The gospel is shared in four main ways at Organized Chaos. One of the first ways is our Firm Foundations program, which runs on Wednesday nights, which is a meal and a discussion time. Lately we've been running alpha videos, and we're doing an alpha camping trip on my farm in 2 weeks. We also did a retreat in February with students. These retreats, the only thing we plan is our talks about God. Everything else is spontaneous. So we're not working to try and entertain these students on these retreats. We're just looking to talk about God and work and continue to that side-by-side relationship as we go out in the snow and throw snowballs at each other. Whatever may happen. And so that is one of our main ways of sharing Christ with our students. And starting shortly, we hired another person starting in July. We hired a pastor to come onto our team to pastor our mentors, to help them share Christ with our students better. And with that, in coming year, we are going to be moving into a discussion time every night of the week. So the first part of every night of the week, we're going to be talking specifically about God. Now, the students have the opportunity to skip that portion of the night, and that's all right. They can come right after that and start building alongside us and building that relationship with us. And we found that very helpful. Those same students at the beginning that are skipping that are now going to church. Knowing that we love them regardless of them coming to that program has helped us build relationships with them. This week on Monday night, I heard about a discussion where at break time, they were talking about what they thought about Jesus. 2 weeks ago, they were discussing some of the mentors and one of the students were talking at that discussion night. The student started saying, based on the discussion, that if God came in the door, that he wouldn't like him. He would hate that student because of blank, 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 blank. He listed off a whole bunch of stuff about why he thought God would hate him. The mentor that was with him was able to say, I've done all of those things, and God loves me. But those conversations didn't just start happening. It was because of the side-by-side aspect of building with the students that have created those conversations to happen. The third way that we share Christ with students is our rewards program. So after 25 hours, I don't have a tape measure. I thought I had a tape measure. After 25 hours, the mentor that the student's been working with the most, those two go buy a tape measure together, and they get a coffee. After 50 hours, they get a speed square. and get a coffee. After 100 hours, it's a utility knife. 150, a hammer. I don't remember what 200 is. And it keeps going. And it moves that relationship outside of the shop and into a coffee shop. This is meant to be a lifelong mentorship. And then the next step after that, the fourth way, is that same mentor is inviting them to their church. So we're not, all these students don't just go to one church that we send them to. It's the mentor that they've connected with. They can walk through that door of that church together. They can invite them together to go to the church together. And so those are our four main ways of sharing the gospel at Organized Chaos. I said 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 was my favorite passage. that is because in that passage, it gives us a task. And know how I was searching for purpose? My purpose is to use my gifts to love others, to bring God glory. But it also shows that the glory is to God. The glory isn't for myself. Another thing it shows, it's not my power that does it. It's his. And so that is why it is my favorite passage. There's many ways of getting involved at Organized Chaos. Our prayer team, which OK Prayer on Facebook, if you're on Facebook. So the letters OK Prayer. You can sign up on our website, be on our prayer team, or you can come talk to me. We send out letters, and we're very active on social media. So you can keep up to date with what we're doing. Another way you can get involved is mentorship. Like I said, our biggest limiting factor is our low-ratio mentorship. And we're not changing our low-ratio mentorship. We found that is very effective, the 1-to-2 ratio. So if you are in construction trades or automotive trades, I want to talk to you. We also have trades assistants. 1-to-2 is great. 1-to-1 is even better. So a trades assistant works alongside that mechanic working with those two students. And so that trades assistant doesn't necessarily know what he's doing, but is willing to ask, but also willing to work with that student as they're changing the brakes together, and they learn alongside each other. We are also looking for administrative help. My wife's looking for administrative help. I organize chaos. I create a lot of chaos. and so it's just part of the wake that comes along with it. And this is out of the ordinary, but I wanted to ask if anybody had any questions about me personally, about the sermon, or about organized chaos. Can you? So to be a mentor, there's a trades mentor has 5 years experience in their trades or ticketed, and they are active in their church. Then we have to do interviews, police checks, all sorts of stuff, and if those work, then yes, you can be a mentor. Yeah. Yes, co-ed. Yeah, we have girls working alongside our shop. Actually, speaking of which, I talked about my father a lot, but I should really talk about my mother just as much. My mother swings a hammer. My mother roofs houses. My mother frames. My mother's the president of the Brantford Home Builders Association. And so, yes, we're co-ed. We work with 13 to 17-year-olds. So we put ourselves in an area where a lot of students who are in more at-risk situations can find us, but we are not at all limited to those students. We don't have any restrictions on students, but we have students coming from a wide variety of backgrounds, and we love the mix. It works well. My wife would be able to talk to that better, but I know we send out a lot of letters. There's a lot of communication details of, like, the rewards program, for example, of track writing down the student hours and find out when they're at that amount of hours to match them with that volunteer. Is like, so you can tell Steve, my mentor, that Jacob has reached 50 hours. It's time to go out with him, kind of thing. Those are a couple examples. Yes. Yep. So our students find us a lot through word of mouth. We're also connected heavily with St. Leonard's Boys and Girls Clubs, Ontario Works, Child and Family Services. We're heavily involved with the school boards. So 2 weeks ago, I walked into 5 different high schools into their trade classrooms unannounced because I have the open invitation. Yesterday, we ran a great big trades competition for the high schools. And so that was the Organized Chaos Trades Competition. And we gave the two members of the winning team, each a $300 drill driver combo kit. So that's opened the doors to the school system. We have posters up in some of the schools. So, and they're, the city, the schools, a lot of people are willing to overlook the fact that we're sharing the gospel because they need the trades. Yeah. Probably one day. Not soon. There's a lot of places I'd like to go. But not yet. Yes. Yeah, so a mentor or an assistant, we expect consistency because it's relationships. We expect one night a week. We work from 6 to 9 in the evenings with our students. And so we want, when that student's there on Monday nights, we want you there on Monday nights, right? Because they're who, you are who they have been connecting with. Yes. Yeah, so the answer is no, not yet. I think we tried at one point, but the connection didn't go through. We were, probably at the time I tried, we were just an idea. Because Organized Chaos has only been working with students for less than 2 years now. 2 years in July. Yeah. We are a donation, we're a registered charity. So sheds that students build, we sell. And that's covered more than our material costs. We get funding from grants and corporate sponsors. Corporate sponsorship is heavier for us than most charities because of our trades aspect. But 50% of donations have still been individuals. Our auto shop that we're opening is going to be able to run on a significantly lower budget because we have a shop and tools given to us for free in the evenings. And so that's going to be able to run on a significantly lower budget than the rest of it. We're also going to be working towards, God willing, insurance provided, that we'll be working on donated cars, fixing them and selling them in the auto shop. And that one day will hopefully provide a lot of that back. So that is determined by a number of mentors, but right now we're running 4 nights a week, normally 6 to 8 students in a night in the shop. That's what we're running right now, and then we'll be opening the second shop. And we're always trying to bring in more mentors. If we get more mentors, we have more students. We can open up more nights of the week. Or if the right mentors come along, we can open earlier in the day or Saturdays or whatever it be. Because the carpentry shop, we're renting it all the time. We have that shop. Not yet. What they get right now is reference to their work by a tradespeople. What they get right now is knowledge and confidence in terms of what they get, trades ability, as well as something on their resume. Actually, yesterday, so our yesterday at the trades competition, we had one student competing, which we didn't send in. The school sent them in. He won. So, yeah. So that was pretty cool. I was pretty happy about that. And we weren't the judges either, so that helps. Cool. I'm going to pray. Thank you for allowing me to be up here with you guys. God, thank you for being with us, working through us, and allowing us to be part of your plan. I am humbled by the fact that you don't need us, but you have chosen to allow us to be part of this anyways. Thank you for blessing us with so many things around us, as well as our inward gifts that you've given us. Help us to find our way of serving you and looking to you to reach our full potential, to bring you glory. In your name, amen.
That was awesome, eh? First time I heard Sean, I was very intrigued with his presentation and by the work that they were doing. As I got to know him and going, this guy's the real deal. He is the real deal. And he is affecting, organized chaos is affecting many lives of youth who otherwise may not have the opportunities that they're getting. And I've seen it in action firsthand by visiting the shop. And I don't know if I told you this or not. Last summer, we needed to have some wood cut. And there was a unique cut for the way it needed to go in the barn. And nobody seemed to be able to do it for us. And then I thought, hey, organized chaos is just around the corner. I wonder if they could help us out. We walked, and the shop was open. And there were some people working in there. And so I asked them if they could make the cut for us. They were more than happy to. But I got to hear stories as they were doing. I got to hear some stories of how the ministry was impacting their lives. And very significant. Just the a place to belong. A place where people care. And an opportunity that they would not normally have had. And it was just pretty powerful. And so we have an opportunity this morning to partner with what Organized Chaos is doing. And we're going to take up a love offering for this ministry. And here's the exciting thing. Any monies, make sure I got this right, any monies raised from yesterday to January or to June 21st will be matched by Enterprise Brandt, by Paris Home Building Center, and by Farrington Church. And the money's going to launch the automotive shop. Is that correct? So I want to encourage you, if ushers, if you could get ready to take up the offering, and as the worship team comes, I want to encourage you. This is fertile soil to sow our seed into. Amen. So I want to encourage you, because this is touching our own community. This is touching lives in our own community. And it's been a privilege for me to get to know Sean and see, be very much taken with the work that he's doing, being a past tradesman myself. However, I don't think I can bend over long enough to take those tires off anymore. But it's an amazing ministry, so thank you for coming. Is everybody ready? Okay, you've reached into your neighbor's wallet just to check to make sure. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for Sean. We thank you for his faithfulness to listen to you, Father, and not rely on his own strength, but to rely on you And Lord, we see what's emerged because of that. Father, I thank you. His word of encouragement to us that you have given us so much. And so, Father, even now, as we rejoice in what you're doing through organized chaos, Father, we take what you've given us to partner with that work and to sow into that ministry. So, Father, bless your people as they give. Thank you in Jesus' name. Go ahead and take up the offering.